This article is brought to you by the best-selling Booksy Write Every Time, The Black Book of Eamon Blackthorne. Because the right words, at the right moment, change everything. How timing affects mediation outcomes. The difference between resolution and escalation often comes down to when you step in. In short, mediation timing is not a detail. It is the difference between a conversation that heals and one that hardens. Step in too soon, and you extinguish a fire that might have burned itself out. Wait too long, and the conflict becomes identity. Both parties must be emotionally ready before any productive dialogue can happen. The longer a conflict runs without skilled intervention, the more rigid the positions become. Recognizing the warning signs of poor timing protects everyone in the room, including the mediator. Definition: mediation timing mistakes occur when a mediator intervenes either too early or too late in a dispute, disrupting the natural conflict cycle or allowing damage to compound. Poor timing undermines even skilled facilitation and is one of the leading causes of failed mediation outcomes. I have sat in rooms where the conflict was technically resolved and practically worse. Both parties shook hands. Both parties left angrier than when they arrived. For years, I blamed the wrong things: the language I used, the seating arrangement, the questions I asked. It took me a long time to understand that the real problem had nothing to do with what I did in the room. It was when I entered it. Mediation timing mistakes are among the most consequential errors in conflict resolution, and they are among the least discussed. Most of the attention goes to technique: what to say, how to structure the conversation, how to stay neutral. All of that matters, but none of it saves you if you step in at the wrong moment. A conflict that is not yet ready to be resolved will resist even the most skilled mediator. A conflict that has been left too long hardens into something closer to identity than disagreement. Here is what I want you to be able to do after reading this: recognize the signs that your timing is off, whether you are the mediator, the manager, or the person trying to help. Because by the time most people realize the timing was wrong, the damage is already compound. Why timing errors in mediation are so hard to catch. Most mediation timing mistakes do not feel like mistakes when you make them. Stepping in quickly feels responsible. Waiting for more information feels prudent. Both impulses are reasonable. That is precisely why the errors persist. When you intervene early, you feel proactive. The conflict has surfaced, you have spotted it, and you are acting before it grows. That feels like good practice. But conflict has a natural arc, and interrupting it before the arc is complete can prevent the parties from reaching the emotional point where they are genuinely ready to talk. When you delay, you tell yourself you're gathering facts, or giving people space, or waiting for the right moment. That also feels sensible. In the meantime, the conflict moves underground, grows roots, and becomes something much harder to shift. Neither error announces itself. Both feel like reasonable judgment calls in the moment. That is why you need observable signs, not just instinct. 6 signs that your mediation timing is off. 1. One or both parties agreed to the conversation under pressure. What it looks like: someone agrees to mediation because their manager insisted, or because they fear the professional consequences of refusing. They turn up, but their body is closed and their answers are short. Why it happens? Mediators and managers often mistake willingness to attend for readiness to engage. Those are two different things. Genuine participation in mediation is voluntary, not coerced. Why it matters: a party who feels forced into mediation will often agree to whatever ends the session fastest. That surface agreement collapses within days. You have not resolved anything. You have compressed it. What to do? Before any session begins, hold a brief individual conversation with each party. Ask directly, are you genuinely willing to be here today? Or does this feel like something you had to agree to? That question alone tells you whether the timing is right. If you are looking for a structured framework for those pre-mediation conversations, how to handle conflict during meetings offers practical grounding for exactly that kind of setting. This much I know: you cannot mediate with someone who has already decided the process is a performance. 2. The conflict has been given a name before the conversation starts. What it looks like: before the mediation begins, people in the wider team are already describing it as the situation between Sarah and Marcus, or that issue with the accounts team. The conflict has become a story with roles assigned. Why it happens: when intervention is delayed, the parties have time to share their version with colleagues. Each retelling reinforces their own narrative and recruits informal allies. The conflict stops being between two people and starts being between two camps. Why it matters? By the time a conflict has a name, the parties are often defending a reputation, not just a position. Mediation becomes much harder because backing down feels like public humiliation. This is a sign that timing has already slipped. What to do? Move early enough that the dispute is still private. If it has already spread, acknowledge the wider dynamic explicitly in the opening of the session. Do not pretend the audience does not exist. Understanding how unmet needs drive team conflict can help you see why the storytelling spreads so fast. The moment a conflict gets a nickname, you're no longer mediating a disagreement. You are mediating a reputation. 3. The first session ends without anyone naming the real issue. What it looks like. The conversation runs its full time. People speak, nobody shouts. You close with some action points, but nothing feels resolved, and you cannot quite say what was actually agreed. Why it happens. Sometimes this is a technique problem, but often it is a timing problem. If the session was convened before both parties had processed enough of their own experience to articulate what they actually needed, the conversation stays on the surface. They talk about the presenting incident rather than the underlying grievance. Why it matters. Surface agreements do not hold. Within a week, the same dynamic reasserts itself, and now there is an additional layer of disappointment. We already talked about this. Revisiting a failed mediation is significantly harder than getting the timing right the first time. What to do? If a session ends without a clear naming of the core issue, do not push for closure. Schedule a follow-up and use the interval to have individual conversations. Ask each party, what was not said today that still needs to be said? For practical techniques on keeping those pre-conversations productive, strategies for diffusing heated conversations gives you real tools to use. 4. The mediator moves to solutions before both parties feel heard. What it looks like. The mediator summarizes the presenting problem, proposes some options, and moves toward agreement. One party nods along. The other party goes quiet. Why it happens. There is social pressure in mediation to reach resolution. The mediator feels it. The parties feel it. Moving to solutions looks like progress, but it can be a timing error disguised as efficiency. Why it matters. If a party does not feel genuinely heard, they will not trust the outcome. They may agree in the room and then undermine the agreement through passive resistance. The quiet party is almost always the one who is not ready to move on. What to do? Before any discussion of solutions, check explicitly with each party. Do you feel that what is most important to you has been properly understood in this room? That question adds time, but it prevents wasted time later. The deal method for resolving conflicts fracturing team synergy builds this check into its structure, and it is worth understanding why that step exists. 5. The mediator intervenes during peak emotional flooding. What it looks like. One or both parties are visibly distressed, voice breaking, face flushed, sentences becoming fragmented. The mediator presses on, hoping the emotion will pass. Why it happens. Stopping a session when it has taken time to arrange feels like failure. The mediator has invested preparation. The parties have rearranged schedules. Calling a pause feels like losing ground. Why it matters. When someone is in full emotional flood, the capacity for genuine listening drops dramatically. Anything agreed in that state is likely to be regretted or retracted. You are not resolving the conflict, you are extracting compliance from someone who is overwhelmed. What to do? Name what you are observing without judgment. I want to pause here for a moment. I can see this is hitting hard for you, and I want to make sure we are having this conversation when you are ready for it. Calling a recess is not failure. It is timing intelligence. For word language to use in those moments. Scripts for de-escalating tension with a colleague gives you something to reach for immediately. I have called more recesses than I can count. Not one of them made the outcome worse. Several of them saved it entirely. 6. Mediation is attempted immediately after the triggering incident. What it looks like. A conflict erupts on a Monday morning. By Monday afternoon, the manager has arranged a mediation session for Tuesday. The parties arrive still raw. Why it happens? Urgency feels like the right response to visible conflict. The manager wants to show they're handling it. Moving fast looks decisive. Why it matters? This is the counterintuitive one. Speed is not always strength in mediation. A 24 to 48 hour gap after a serious incident allows the initial shock of the confrontation to settle. Both parties can begin to shift from reactive to reflective. Without that gap, You're mediating the emotional aftermath of the incident rather than the conflict itself. What to do? Allow a cooling off period proportional to the intensity of the incident. Acknowledge the conflict directly, confirm that a mediation conversation will happen, and name a specific time that is not immediately. Use the interval to speak with each party individually. The deal method for resolving workplace tension before it escalates is designed precisely for that early window, before formal mediation is warranted. The root cause beneath the timing errors. Each of those six signs is a symptom. The disease underneath them is a single flawed assumption that mediation is an event rather than a process. When you treat mediation as a one-time meeting to be scheduled and completed, timing becomes almost irrelevant. You book the room, gather the parties, and trust that good technique will carry you through. But mediation is not a meeting. It is a carefully timed sequence of individual conversations, collective dialogue, emotional processing, and agreement building. Each step depends on the previous one being genuinely complete. The moment you start thinking of mediation as a process rather than an event, timing becomes a skill you can actually develop. You start asking different questions before you convene anyone. You build in the pre-mediation conversations a standard. You treat emotional readiness as a prerequisite, not a hope. This shift also changes how you understand your role. You are not a conflict referee calling people to the table. You are a practitioner reading the conditions and choosing the right moment to act. For a structured way to stay grounded in that reading, the core framework for tense workplace conversations gives you a reliable internal anchor. A timing diagnostic you can use before your next session. Before you convene a mediation session, work through these statements honestly. Answer yes or no to each one. Both parties initiated or genuinely accepted the invitation to mediate, without external pressure. At least 24 hours have passed since the most recent significant incident between the parties. I have spoken individually with both parties before scheduling the joint session. Both parties can describe the conflict in specific terms, not just as a general feeling of grievance. Neither party is currently in a crisis state, such as active distress, fear, or sleep deprivation. The conflict has not yet become a topic of open discussion among wider colleagues or teams. Both parties have expressed at least some willingness to hear the other person's perspective. Scoring: 6 to 7 yes answers. The conditions are favorable. Proceed with the session. 4 to 5 yes answers. Proceed with caution. Address the no items with individual conversations before you convene the joint session. Fewer than 4 yes answers. The timing is not right. Delay the joint session. Address the readiness gaps and revisit the assessment in a few days. This is not a guarantee of success, but it is a reliable filter for the most preventable failures. A quick note before we continue. Most people leave the hardest conversations for last and regret the words they used when they finally had them. The best-selling book 8 Right Every Time gives you 115 tested scripts for those exact moments, the ones that shape careers, relationships, and how people remember you. Get your copy at emonblackthorne.com. Now, back to the article. Where to go from here? If you recognized more than one of these patterns in your recent mediation work, the next move is not to overhaul your technique. It is to build a pre-mediation routine that you use every time, without exception. That routine should include individual conversations with each party, an honest assessment of emotional readiness, and a clear cooling-off period proportional to the severity of the conflict. None of that is complicated. All of it requires the courage to slow down when the pressure is to move fast. The best mediators I have known were not the most articulate people in the room. They were the most patient. They understood that mediation timing the stakes cost more time than they save, and they were willing to wait for the conditions that gave resolution a genuine chance. Frequently asked questions. What are common mediation timing mistakes? The most common mediation timing mistakes include intervening before both parties are emotionally ready, waiting so long that positions have hardened into fixed grievances, and rushing toward resolution before the real issues have been named. Each error shifts the outcome from repair to further damage. How do you know when the right time to mediate is? The right time to mediate is when both parties can speak without being flooded by emotion, when the conflict is specific enough to discuss, and when at least one person is willing to hear the other. Waiting for perfect conditions really works, but stepping in during peak anger almost never does. Can mediating too early make a conflict worse? Yes, mediating too early can interrupt a natural cooling process, force premature agreements that neither party truly accepts, and signal to the parties that their feelings are being managed rather than heard. Premature intervention is one of the least recognised but most damaging mediation timing mistakes. What happens when mediator waits too long to intervene? When mediation is delayed too long, people have usually built a fixed narrative about the other person. Positions harden, allies get recruited, and the conflict often spreads to others. What began as a repairable disagreement becomes a structural fracture that takes far more effort and time to resolve. How does emotional readiness affect mediation outcomes? Emotional readiness is one of the strongest predictors of mediation success. When a party is still flooded with anger or hurt, they cannot genuinely listen or negotiate. A mediator who proceeds without checking readiness is likely to produce a surface agreement that collapses within days or weeks. What is conflict ripeness in mediation? Conflict ripeness refers to the point at which both parties are sufficiently motivated to resolve a dispute and capable of engaging in dialogue. A conflict that is not yet ripe will resist even skilled mediation. Recognising ripeness is one of the core mediation timing skills a practitioner must develop. Thank you for listening. If this article helped, the best-selling book Say It Right Every Time will take you the rest of the way. 115 scripts ready to use whenever you need them. Visit emonblickthorne.com to get your copy.